This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hi, this is Valerie Goldston. Today I'll be reading to you from Reader's Digest. Here's some news from the world of medicine by Samantha Rydow. New help for heart disease. Since the 1950s, medical scientists have understood that high cholesterol can contribute to coronary artery disease, CAD, by clogging the arteries with plaque. More recently, they learned that chronic inflammation in the arteries is another key risk factor. Now, two large multinational clinical trials have shown that colchicine, a drug that's already used to treat other inflammatory conditions such as gout, is also useful for preventing heart attack, stroke, and cardiovascular death in people with CAD. When added to standard treatments such as statins, it reduced the risk of these complications by as much as 31%. The FDA recently approved low-dose colchicine for this purpose, making it the first medication that tackles cardiovascular disease by specifically targeting inflammation. You can't reverse sleep deprivation. With help from people who volunteered to stay up overnight, scientists from Michigan State University and the University of Pittsburgh have tested two popular ways of compensating for sleep deprivation, caffeine and napping. Researchers compared cognitive test results of people who slept and those who stayed up all night, and they could tell the difference. Sleeplessness took a toll on people's ability to stay focused on a task and to follow a complex set of directions. Consuming caffeine equal to 2 cups of coffee improved focus, but not direction following. Taking a 30 or 60 minute snooze didn't fully restore their brain function either. So while loading up on caffeine and catching a few midday Z's might help you get through the day, neither will it have you performing at your best. A few steps go a long way. The more you walk each day, the greater the health benefit. If there is an upper limit to this general rule, it hasn't been determined yet. But the minimum number of steps needed to start making a difference might be lower than previously thought. A review of 17 earlier studies found that taking as few as 2,500 steps per day could reduce by 16% or more the risk of dying from cardiovascular disease compared to walking less. When it comes to prolonging lives, said the lead researcher, Masij Banach, even modest lifestyle changes can be surprisingly powerful. How calories count. For people trying to gain, lose, or maintain body weight, not all calories are equal, suggests a report published in the journal Nature Communications. A group of young adults tried two very different diets for 22 days each. Both of the diets involved eating the same amount of calories, but one was rich in fiber, while the other was full of processed foods such as white bread and sugary snacks. On average, the high-fiber dieters absorbed 116 fewer calories per day without feeling hungrier. How? The upper gastrointestinal tract quickly absorbs high-processed foods, meaning our bodies absorb more of their calories. Because whole foods take longer to digest, they make their way to the colon, where most of our gut microbiota live, so they can feed on those whole foods and use the calories rather than the body simply absorbing them. Defibrillators save lives. When somebody experiences cardiac arrest in public, it's always worth trying to find an automated external defibrillator, even if an ambulance isn't far away. In a recent analysis of Danish data, defibrillation improved cardiac arrest victims' chances of survival if paramedics took longer than 2 minutes to arrive. While laws vary by state, many public spaces, such as community centers, gyms, and airports, are legally required to have AEDs. They aren't mandatory in all workplaces and buildings, but the devices, which cost roughly $1,500 to $2,500, could be a life-saving investment. Next up, Everyday Heroes, Two-Man Iron Man, A father and son team turned disability into triumph. On September 17, 2022, a father and son set out to begin the first of three legs of the Ironman competition in Cambridge, Maryland. Jeff Agar, 59, and his son, Johnny Agar, 28, weren't the typical entrants. Johnny has cerebral palsy. His difficulty walking is compounded by muscle weakness and spasm. Jeff would act as his arms and legs, literally carrying the weight of his son throughout the race. To qualify as having finished, competitors must complete a grueling 140 miles of swimming, bicycling, and running in under 17 hours. Jeff and Johnny had participated together in five Ironman competitions, but they had yet to finish in the requisite time frame. From the day Johnny was born, Jeff and Becky Agar refused to let their son's disabilities hold him back. Determined to show Johnny that he could pursue his dream of being an athlete, when he was 15 years old, they signed him up with My Team Triumph, an organization that helps kids with disabilities engage in endurance sports. "It gave me a whole new perspective on life," Johnny says. "All these people were pushing themselves to their own goals." Johnny became hooked on racing, and Jeff wanted to be a part of it. The COO of a manufacturing company in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Jeff began waking up at 4 a.m. so he could run while pushing Johnny in a sleek version of a wheelchair called a racing chair. Jeff had been a minor league baseball pitcher, but endurance sports were new to him. Still, every morning, he drove himself to run increasingly longer distances. Soon, he and Johnny were entering 5K races, and then on to Ironman triathlons in 2016. "I wanted to fulfill his dreams," Jeff said. "I started doing things I would never have dreamt were possible. Finishing the Ironman competition in under 17 hours would be another dream come true." The race began with a 2.4-mile swim in the Choptank River. Jeff and Becky helped Johnny into a kayak, with one end of a rope tied to a harness around his back and the other end to the kayak. Jeff eased himself into the water. Swimming while towing another person is tough enough. Jeff also had to contend with jellyfish. "I occupied my mind by counting the number of times I got stung," he says. The pair completed the swim in 90 minutes, and it was on to the next leg, a 112-mile bicycle ride. Their custom-built bike has an extra-strong frame and an additional seat in the back for Johnny that faces backwards, the better to cheer on other competitors. They completed the arduous bike portion in roughly 9 hours, then set their sights on the final leg of the race, a 26.2-mile marathon with Jeff pushing Johnny in the racing chair. They'd been competing for 10.5 hours, leaving another 6.5 hours to make their time. But at mile 19, Jeff began to panic, convinced they were going too slow. Somehow he found the energy to pick up the pace. With minutes left and 200 feet to the finish line, Jeff stopped to help Johnny out of his racing chair. Becky on the sidelines handed Johnny his rolling walker. Not that long ago, Johnny could barely walk 23 steps. But after years of painstaking work, he increased his step count and was determined to finish his race on his own. This race would be no different. Johnny saw the clock ticking down and worried they wouldn't make the cutoff. "Not because I wouldn't get my moment," he says, "but because Dad had worked so hard." After 26 hours, 55 minutes, and 35 seconds, with just 4 minutes and 25 seconds to spare, father and son crossed the finish line together. As the crowd engulfed and cheered on an overwhelmed Johnny, a weary Jeff kept a low profile. "He didn't want his finish line moment," says Johnny. "He wanted it to be mine." Next up, Art of Living. Food, facts, and fun. A scrumptious sidekick. Got a crush on crunch? Pickles pack a punch. What would a Cuban sandwich be without pickles pressed alongside the smoky pork and melty Swiss? Ditto the piquant pickle marrying spiced meat and garlic sauce in a shawarma, or the 1-2 punch of neon green relish and a dill spear on a classic Chicago dog. But these briny delights aren't just the sandwich's most loyal companion. Its ubiquitous sidekick on a plate as garnish, pickles can hold their own all on their own, with a crisp acidity and a satisfying snap that makes for a bite like no other. Kosher dills are king in the United States, far surpassing gherkins and bread and butter chips in popularity. Eastern European Jewish immigrants cemented that status in New York City in the late 1800s, when traditional kosher dill recipes called for fresh cucumbers piled in large wooden barrels with dill, garlic, spices, kosher salt, and water. These barrels, by the way, aren't the best boating vessels, despite the handful of historical daredevils who successfully went over Niagara Falls in one. The first to take that plunge was a schoolteacher named Annie Edson Taylor, who was strapped for cash and seeking fame. Her 1901 stunt didn't earn her the fortune she had hoped for, but it certainly made for a memorable birthday, her 63rd, no less. After swimming in those barrels in their brine bath, former cucumbers emerge as bumpy, bright green half-sours, also known as new pickles. With longer fermentation come the full sours. As pickle pushcarts popped up along the Lower East Side of Manhattan, so did delis, like the legendary Cats, selling pickles straight out of the barrel and paired up with mile-high pastrami on rye. Today, the famed eatery's house-brined pickles are available by the quart via mail order. Despite all their bright potential, pickles can leave a sour taste. In fact, Spoon University, an online food publication produced by college students, named pickles one of the 10 most polarizing foods of all time, alongside licorice and cilantro. Still, those who relish, forgive us, pickles are super smitten with them. Americans partake in 9 pounds of pickles per person per year. Try saying that 5 times fast. The love affair has only picked up steam. Zippy dill pickle flavor now infuses popcorn, ice pops, even sour beer. Trader Joe's sells pickle seasoning. Fried pickle dip graces the deli case. Pickle pizza with a white garlic sauce, mozzarella cheese, and sliced dill pickles, posing as pepperoni, has found cult status at pizza joints across the country. Millions of TikTok users now hail the chickle, a juicy pickle shrouded in pan-fried provolone, as the ultimate salty sour snack. Millions more have completed the hot pickle challenge, devouring super spicy packaged pickles and posting their reactions. While we await the pickle's next fun fling, there's always that trusty jar calling from the fridge, and something to be said for the real dill. Here we have 13 things, mind-bending facts about yoga. 1. Though it's been around for roughly 5,000 years, yoga is more popular today than ever. The fact that you can practice it just about anywhere is a big reason why. About 55 million Americans regularly hit the mat. That's nearly 15 million more than the number of people who play golf. 2. Westerners adopted yoga as a form of exercise, but at its roots, yoga is a way of life. As recorded in the Yoga Sutras, a classic yoga text attributed to the philosopher Patanjali, yoga is based on the idea that the mind, body, and spirit are all one. The breath is said to carry a person's life force. Many gurus believe that controlling the breath rejuvenates the body and can even extend your life. 3. If you're taking a yoga class for the first time, you might hear words you don't recognize, like Tadasana, mountain pose, or Uttanasana, standing forward bend. These words are in Sanskrit, the root of many Indian languages and the language of yoga. Today, it's spoken by less than 1% of Indians. Yoga's root word, yog, means to unite, and refers to the two selves, the individual and the divine. 4. In addition to reducing stress, yoga can improve posture and balance, strengthen bones and muscles, and keep your joints healthy. Different poses offer different benefits. For instance, downward facing dog can relieve back pain, while plank pose is good for building a strong core. For a quick break, start out on your hands and knees and sit back, bringing your belly to the floor with arms outstretched for child's pose, a gentle stretch that helps you rest and refocus. 5. The Hindu monk Swami Vivekananda is credited with popularizing yoga in the West. In 1893, he attended the Chicago's World Fair, where he gave a groundbreaking speech calling for religious tolerance, prompting a 2-minute standing ovation. He then went on to write Raja Yoga, published in the U.S. in 1896, which adopted Patanjali's Yoga Sutras for a Western audience. 6. Today, yoga is big business. Globally, the industry is expected to generate $66 billion by 2027. More than 45,000 yoga studios dot the country, and despite the fact that all you really need is a mat, the average American yogi spends an estimated $62,640 over a lifetime on yoga classes and accessories. 7. Nearly 5 million kids nationwide practice yoga too, with benefits beyond the physical. Yoga can help reduce anxiety and improve focus, which is especially beneficial for kids with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Yoga has also been found to help children with autism spectrum disorder better regulate their emotions. 8. Some of yoga's famous practitioners include Madonna, Meghan Markle, LeBron James, and Paul McCartney, who in 2020, at age 78, said in an interview that he regularly practices the handstand pose. The benefits of doing this pose include improved circulation, digestion, and focus, but the difficult inversion puts much of your body weight on your neck and head, and it can be dangerous if not done properly. 9. Between 2001 and 2014, almost 30,000 Americans ended up in the ER because of yoga-related injuries. Strains and sprains tend to be the most common issues, but serious injuries, though rare, can happen. One 39-year-old Maryland woman had a massive stroke after tearing an artery while attempting a hollow back handstand pose. To prevent injury, work with a qualified instructor, warm up thoroughly, and don't try positions beyond your comfort level. 10. Yogi Yash Moradita, 22, is a 9-time Guinness World Record holder for maintaining difficult poses. In 2022, he held upside-down scorpion pose, a forearm stand with the back so arched that the head and toes can touch, for 29 minutes and 4 seconds. 11. Vinyasa yoga, also called flow, is one of the most popular styles. It focuses on linking a series of poses with the breath in a quick, fluid pace. Ashtanga is like vinyasa, but more structured. It is made up of 6 series with a fixed order of poses. Hot yoga is performed in a sauna-like room, usually heated between 80 and 105 degrees. The heat is said to increase stamina, flexibility, and calorie burn. 12. Already into yoga and looking to change up your practice? Try a modern variation. Aerial yoga involves hanging from a silk hammock suspended from the ceiling. It can reduce the joint pressure some people feel while doing yoga on the floor. Animal yoga is about decreasing stress and boosting your mood by practicing poses in the company of puppies, goats, and even horses. 13. Corpse pose, looks simple, laying flat on one's back, eyes closed. But it can be deceivingly difficult to master, as it calls for a state of meditative calm. Traditionally, the final pose of a yoga class, the purpose of this pose is to allow your practice to settle in your mind and body. After that, you and your classmates usually acknowledge each other with a greeting that even non-yogis know, Namaste. Our next story, by Mary McGreevy, Life Well Lived, Words to Live By, What I've Learned from Reading Obituaries. We Americans are voracious consumers of advice, seeking wisdom wherever we can find it. Podcasts, books, TED Talks, life coaches, influencers, religion, therapy, Dear Abby, barbers, bartenders, Uber drivers, the list goes on. I'd like to add my personal source for guidance, obituaries. It turns out the dead knows a thing or two about living. I've been an avid obit reader for decades, for the same reason that artist Mira Kalman says she reads them every morning. Maybe it is a way of trying to figure out, before the day begins, what is important. Recently, I've begun using my TikTok account called Tips from Dead People to share some life lessons I've learned from obituaries. Here are a few favorites. Success is measured in kindness. Maureen Brennan Weaver of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, was accomplished by any standard measure as a doctor, mother, volunteer. But her obituary comes to life with the tiny details. Maureen was 6 feet tall and loved strays of all species, could outthink any opponent, was riotously funny and pathologically generous. That last part is the key to knowing her. If you mentioned a thing you liked, she'd get you 11 when she found them at a greater price. When a nephew wished for a plastic microscope, she found him a real one at a great price and painstakingly prepared hundreds of slides for his study. Turns out that qualities like generosity are actually the things that endure, not the job titles or the purchases. Overcoming obstacles isn't just for superheroes. If you think that a catastrophe in your life will define you forever, worry not. I've read obituaries of lives that featured disaster, heartache, addiction, estrangement, breakups, and all manners of reckless choices. And guess what? In almost every case, there was another chapter, sometimes many more chapters. Renewals, rebirths, remarriages, relocations. It ain't over till it's over. Take Jerry Tubb of Nichols Hills, Oklahoma, who in 1955 and 1956 spent 6 months in the hospital, losing the use of his legs to polio as a teenager, just months before the vaccine became available. His extraordinarily positive obituary reads, "You would have thought Jerry would have become needy, pessimistic, and maybe even jealous of others over the 7 decades his body continued to fail around him again and again and again, leaving him both paralyzed and without feeling below his chest in the last years of his life. But he never did. Jerry kept getting up day after day, and he kept treating each moment of life as a gift." Tubb's story includes law school, an epic love story, and so much more. The moral of the story, you may think that you're defined by catastrophic moments, but don't ever count yourself out, or anyone else for that matter. When in doubt, laugh. Renee Corin of El Paso, Texas, died at the age of 84. A crushing blow to her family, but as the obituary written by her loving son shows, this is a woman who will be remembered for living life to the fullest, consequences be damned. The bawdy, fertile, red-headed matriarch of a sprawling Jewish-Mexican redneck American family has kicked it. Hers was an itinerant, much-lived life, a Yankee, Florida, liberal, Jewish tough gal who bowled 'em in Japan, rolled 'em in North Carolina, and was a singularly unique parent. There will be much mourning in the many glamorous locales she went bankrupt in, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, Renee's birthplace and where she first fell in love with Ham and atheism, Fayetteville and Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina, where Renee's dream, credit rating, and marriage are all buried. There will be a very respectful and totally non-denominational memorial on May 10, 2022, most likely at a bowling alley in Fayetteville. The family requests absolutely zero privacy or propriety. Bye, Mommy. We loved you to bits. Not to be outdone is Edna Dubeck of Nashua, New Hampshire. By the end of her life, she suffered from dementia. But in her obituary, Dubeck's family preferred to highlight the joy she found in life. She was the bingo queen. She never met a candy she couldn't store in her bra for later. She had great teeth until they got lost. She'd flirt with everyone. She laughed so much, she often peed her pants. We'll miss her stories and her sporadic use of French. One thing we know for sure is that wherever she is, there's country music playing and she's dancing. In the end, people will be remembered not by the disease, but by how much joy they contributed to the world. Be honest, even when it hurts. There comes a point in life and in death when we need to be brutally honest about the hard stuff. Take Cody James Holland of Nevelton, New York. His mom wrote his obituary and led off with a truth bomb like no other. Cody James left us on August 8, 2020, as a result of injuries sustained from being a dumbass. He drank, drove, and didn't wear his seatbelt. Please don't be a dumbass. The obit generated some controversy, but his mom said she'd do it again to save someone else. Don't misunderstand. Holland was well-loved and relished his life. He loved his family and friends along with trucks, his motorcycle, his dogs, his guns, hunting, fishing, steak, chew, beer, hats on sideways, Sour Patch Kids, Swedish Fish, and Shania Twain. But a tribute to him without the hard stuff wouldn't be a real tribute. You don't need to whitewash a person's life to pay tribute to them. We all contain paradoxes and complications, and not only is there nothing wrong with that, it's what makes us beautiful. Try something new. As a perfectionist, I find that this tip is the hardest and maybe the most important for me to implement. Can you imagine realizing at the end of your life that you didn't try something simply because you thought you might fail? Suffering from a fear of failure did not apply to Ida Keeling of Harlem, New York. According to her obituary, Keeling was 67 and depressed over the sudden loss of her husband and her two sons when, at the urging of her daughter, she entered a 5K with only a day's notice. She was all in and said early into the race that she felt like she was running up and out of a hole, like someone had watered a plant that hadn't been watered in a long time. The spark was lit and she went on to run for three more decades. She died at age 106. Don't feel like breaking a sweat? Then be like Ricardo Torres of Wasada, Minnesota. His obit says, in recent years, he discovered a passion for gardening. He approached it with little planning, but lots of enthusiasm, especially when it came to killing weeds. Many a neighbor witnessed Rich using a flamethrower to torch the unwanted plants in his yard. The cigar in his mouth was a nice touch. Now come on, that's a guy you'd want as your neighbor. Reading so many obituaries has, of course, inspired me to think about what my own might say. Punctual to a fault? Mediocre dancer, but expertly sarcastic? Her perfect meal was a peanut butter and bacon sandwich? Any of these things, as little as they are, say more about me than a list of jobs or the money I've made. That's because the little things in life, the things that seem inconsequential but add depth and whimsy and joy to our days, they are what make it so worth being alive.